Thank you, Pam and worship team. That was really great. If you're joining us, we're continuing on a study of 1 Peter, and it's good to remember, remember Peter from the Gospels, and he was a slave of fear, and he denied Christ 3 times. But then Christ, when he reinstated him, he asked him, he said, "Do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me?" You know, and sometimes when we sing love songs to Jesus, we say, "Well, I don't know if I love him as much as he loves me. I know I don't." But it's great to tell him that. He likes to hear that and to sing that. And even when you pray it, you just tell him you love him. So thank you, Pam and worship team, for helping us sing to the Lord. Yeah, we love you, Lord. 1 Peter. We have this holy calling on our lives. Just a quick overview of the first 3 chapters. We are called to a living hope. It goes beyond this life to the next life, and that affects the way we are to live. We're called to be a holy. Whatever we do, it is with God. We do life with God. We go to church to worship God. We expect to meet Him here in a corporate way. But when I go home and I watch television or I turn on the internet to surf, I do that with God as well. Everything, all of life is sacred, it's holy. And we're called to be a holy priesthood. It's not just a pastor who's important. They play important roles. But you are a holy people. You know people, and you can pray for people and intercede for people, can represent Christ in unique ways where I could never go. You are a holy priesthood, and while you're at it, you know, you're on a journey. This holy priesthood thing is just for this time on planet Earth, and then comes eternity. But you and I are called to be a holy priesthood, and we're called to live a life of submission to authority, whether it's in the government, whether it's in the workplace, and then within the home. And I think the very last time we looked at 1 Peter was 3, verse 14 through 22. And this encouraged us how we should respond when we suffer for doing what is right. In other words, we're being good citizens. We're being faithful and trustworthy, hardworking employees. We're doing our roles in the house, whether it's the husbands loving their wives as Christ loved the church, a wife submitting to their husbands as the church submits to Christ. But sometimes it goes bad, right? And people don't treat you well. Governments are evil. Corporate world becomes very selfish, and it could care less about your personal life. Family life split, and it gets very difficult in marriages. So what do you do? Well, you consider yourselves blessed by God. This was in chapter 3, verse 14. Refrain from panic and worry. In your heart, honor Christ as Lord, and then focus on Christ, the greatest example of submission in the Godhead. Christ submitted to the will of the Father and came and took himself the shape of a human to die on the cross. So all of these things we are to keep in mind when we suffer for doing what is right. So that brings us up today, 1 Peter 4, verse 1 to 11, arm yourselves. I think most of us have good arms, right? Little Nathan Wong hurt his arm somehow. I forget, was it skateboard or whatever? Yeah, probably something like that. But anyway, he's healing. He's on the mend. But arm yourself doesn't mean, hey, you don't have any arms, put an arm on. We're actually talking about get ready for military battle, all right? Any of you guys see this one this week at Kent State? Did you see that one? Us Americans, we're kind of interested in guns, right? But this is Caitlin Bennett at Kent State University, and she's a supporter of having weapons, and she says, come and take it if you can. So at her graduation, she took these snapshots. That girl's armed, all right? So I wouldn't go around and mess with her. But the weapons that you need are not an assault rifle. But the weapons we're talking about today are real while you're doing this holy life, this holy calling between now and heaven. You need to prepare your mindset that you are in a battle of sorts, and you have to have spiritual weapons. Now, Ephesians, I want to say, is it Ephesians 5 or 6? Ephesians, toward the end of Ephesians, we got the armor of God we talk about. But today we're going to be looking more about the specifics of a mindset. And here's where it goes. Since therefore Christ suffered in the flesh, arm yourselves with the same way of thinking. That's get ready for battle. Arm yourself with the same way of thinking. Any of you guys watch MMA, mixed martial arts? Yeah, there's a few guys confessing. We'll pray for you after service. No, it's really it's a dangerous sport, and you better know what you're doing. You better have a set of skills, but before you go in the ring, you know your opponent, and you've already got a mindset of how am I going to approach this? Am I going to have to wrestle more? Am I going to have to kick more? Am I going to have to box more? Am I going to have to be an aggressor or let them come at me and then I trap them? You have to have this mindset of wrestling, but what kind of mindset are we talking about here in 1 Peter 4? With what way of thinking are we to arm ourselves? Well, it's pretty clear. Since therefore Christ suffered in the flesh, arm yourselves with the same way of thinking. You know, no servant is above his master. If the master suffers, you will suffer. And we'll look at that a little bit, but some of our friends in different parts of the world, last Sunday was the bombing in Indonesia. Is that right? It was last Sunday? And they gave the supreme sacrifice, their lives, because of suicide bombers. Not all of us will die by martyrdom. But in some ways, we will suffer in the flesh if we're following Christ. And we'll unpack this a little bit as we go along. For whoever has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. You and I no longer live for sin. We have been reborn again, and so we can sing songs about how we love you, Jesus. We can sing songs how I'm a friend of God and how I'm no longer a slave to fear because I'm a child of God. But one of the marks, if you're suffering because you have named the name of Christ, that shows that sin is no longer your master. For whoever has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. Sin no longer dictates and rules you. Does it raise its head up? Yes. Do we sin by word, thought, and deed? Yes. But we don't live for that. There's a difference. For whoever has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, so as to live for the rest of the time in the flesh, no longer for human passions, but for the will of God. Because we have been born by the Holy Spirit, we have come to faith and realized that man who hung on the tree was God of gods, the creator of life. He is the one who died a physical death, buried, rose again from the dead, witnessed by many that this resurrection was true, and he promised as he ascended to heaven, I will return and I will judge both the living and the dead. Now, when you believe that, then you start to have a different value system. Well, who do you live for? No longer for human passions, but for the will of God. So a power to choose. As Christians, we have the power to choose. As non-Christians, we don't. We're dead. We can't choose. But just to live for our human passions. So the greatest example of course, is our Christ, how he chose to go to the cross in order to bring us to God. 1 Peter 3:18 is probably one of my favorite verses in Scripture, but particularly from the book of Peter. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the Spirit. Guys, we got a little echo. Do you like me to, I can talk without it. Is it, we okay?
We're trying to find it.
All right. Are you guys living with this echo? You all right? Okay. We're going to make it all right. So that's the least of our problems, right?
What?
The monitor?
Yeah, turn off the monitor.
Okay. Good idea. Turn off the monitors. Let's see what happens. Okay. So Jesus could have, well, Jesus only did what the Father told him. He said, I can only do what my Father tells me. I mean, you know, if I get up and go on a mountain and pray, if I go over here and feed 5,000 people, whatever I'm going to do today, and particularly it was the Father's will, he sent me to the earth to show his love, and that was to go to the cross. So he only did the Father's will. He didn't live for just to make life comfortable. And the call of God's life on us to be His holy people isn't a call to comfort. Now, yeah, we all pray for things to make our life more comfortable. But in the meanwhile, we will also suffer as our Savior suffered as we follow Him. Verse 3, "For the time that is past suffices for doing what the Gentiles want to do." That's just not the way I talk. "For the time that is past suffices for doing what the Gentiles want to do." In other words, for those people, those holy people whom Peter is talking to, and I'm talking to the holy people of Discovery Bay International Community Church, you know what? You had some before Christ days. Can anybody remember the time that you weren't Christians? A few of you? There might be a few of us here this morning that always grew up in the church, and all I've known is Jesus all my life. Praise God. That's great. That's a great testimony. But some of us can look back and we say, ooh, I wish I'd never done that. Wow. Man, what a sinner. It's just too bad. I can't even tell you what I did. It's so embarrassing. Well, in the time that has passed suffices for doing what the Gentiles want to do. That sounds like Barnabas. Yeah. So Gentiles are people who are not of the holy nation, people who are not the holy people of God, those who are outside of the faith. What do they want to do? Well, here gives a big list. They want to live in sensuality, passions, drunkenness, orgies, drinking parties, and lawless idolatry. We're talking idolatry mixed in with all kinds of sensualities. I'll let your mind go with that. I encourage you, never Google these words. Don't Google these words. Don't do them. It'll make you puke. That's the kind of world we lived in, and some of us were in that. Hey, who's going off to university? Let's go have a drinking party, you know, throw those little ping pong balls and shoot shots and take a pill or two and have a great time. This is a really mild one. If you Google drinking parties, you'll see what I mean. This is, don't do it, okay? I already told you don't do it. But how about Denver, Colorado? Forget the drink. Was it 420 is a big deal? That's some kind of a code for marijuana users on April 4th, 20th. I forget, they got some kind of legend, urban legend. But then here we are, Denver. Everybody's getting high. And, yeah, this is where your kids are going to school, right? This doesn't happen in DB, though. Aren't you grateful? I've known families whose teenage son died of heroin overdose. If I mention the school to you, you go, what? It's out in the streets here. Don't kid yourselves. I can remember being a coach at Hong Kong Football Club, and I would come in, and I'm coaching young teenagers, 13 and 14 years old. And the guys are talking about how they got blacked out after drinking so much the night before. That's some of the stuff you used to do, and some of those friends that you used to do that kind of thing with want you to keep doing it. These are the type of temptations you're going to meet in the university world. This is the type of temptations you meet here, even in this school. But the power of Christ, the gospel, when it becomes real for you, you're no longer a slave to sin. You now have the power, but you have to appropriate that power. You have to come humbly before Jesus every day, and I do. My wife does. And we have to ask, fill us with your Spirit, that we will walk as a son and daughter of the living God. Ah, those guys getting high. How many of you used to get high? No, never mind. Okay. Johnny Pizarris. I can remember I came to faith in Christ, and Johnny was, I went to military school, but we had potheads at a military school. And Johnny was a pothead. He got high all the time. He knew how to hide his pot away from the dogs. He was really good. Really clever. And so when I came to faith, and Johnny says, hey, James, I went to a wedding, and I see him at a wedding. He says, James, let's go smoke a joint. I said, no, I belong to Jesus now. I don't smoke anymore. He said, what? What do you mean you don't smoke anymore? I said, no, I stopped that stuff. But look at you, you're drinking wine. I said, yeah, Jesus turned water into wine, right? He didn't turn it into marijuana. So, anyway, to make a long story short, I was tempted, and I fell once. I smoked a joint, and I went to bed, and the moonlight was a bright full moon shining in through the window, and the window was a four-pane window, and the cross was up on the wall. It's like God would say, you can choose the cross or getting high. That was my last joint. Yeah, you love your friends, but you don't have to do what they like to do, guys. With respect to this, they are surprised when you do not join them in the same flood of debauchery, and they malign you. They're surprised. What? Come on, there's nothing. Because they're not born again. They don't have that sensitivity to Holy Spirit, which now lives inside you. This body is what? The temple of God now. He lives and dwells in me by His Spirit. But they're surprised when you don't join them in. I mean, look, guys, this is fun, right? We've always done this. And they malign you. That word malign in the Greek is blaspheming. You're an idiot. You're stupid. You're just really the worst. They malign you. Have you ever heard any of these when you came to faith? What do you mean you don't do that? Come on, you mean God doesn't want you to have fun? Have you guys had any fun this week? I had fun this week, right? Right? We know Christ. We can have fun, right? Yeah, we have fun. But I don't have to drink till I black out. You think that's fun? And wake up naked in Shaw 10? That's fun? So you think you're some kind of saint? You think you're better than we are? No. No, actually. Actually, I don't think I'm better than you at all. I realize I'm not better than you. But I am so surprised that God loves me, that He would save me and want me to be His friend. How could I do any? I can't do that kind of stuff anymore. What's wrong with you?
Yeah.
So I'm a Jesus guy. We're going through a little training called Express Your Faith, and one of our members was talking about how he was working on his assignment, and this individual at school notices it, and as he's pulling out things from his backpack, reading it during breaks,